time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Right. Reading from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Probably many of you are already thinking it in your head or in your mind. It's something that many have referred to. I think even Roger Powell used to have it on his sneaker when he was a part of the U of I fabulous team some years ago. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, December 6th, 2022. And I'm kind of excited, Marianne, for our special guest. He was a part of our Ministry Leaders Network last Thursday, and it was so fun and delightful. I knew he had a powerful story, but to see the pastors and ministry leaders kind of take in his storytelling and his sharing and how God has been at work in his life, and he never gave up on his dreams. In fact, he learned to live for the moment and keep an active perspective. I'm looking at my notes now, Brett, but allows adversity, talking about God and how we can take that adversity and make something out of it. You know, that saying that people say, make lemonade out of lemons, or if something isn't just right, change your perspective and use it for God's glory. Brett talked about seeking opportunity. We're going to talk about the even though, Brett. So I'm getting your brain thinking through some of the things that you might want to share during Testimony Tuesday, joy in the journey, the importance of storytelling, not my way. So in the studio with me is Brett Behrens. He's with WCIA. He's their sports director. Did you say you've been with them for about 10 years?
Yeah, my 10th year at WCIA.
And he has, what did they say? Some people have a face for radio. Well, he's on TV. He's a good-looking guy, all-American.
He's got a voice for radio as
he's got a voice for radio.
On TV.
The joke is I wear more makeup than my wife, which is true.
Great. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, for TV, you have to.
You do. And I don't really enjoy that, but, you know, it's just
what it is.
It's just the way it is a little bit. Yeah. So it is true. I do wear more makeup than my wife, but I get paid to talk about sports and wear makeup. So
there's
worse
go.
Things in the world.
And you get to talk about something that you love to do. And that's going to be part of your Testimony Tuesday, as I'm going to ask you to walk us through some of that faith journey and that tragedy that happened about 16 and a half years ago. But I have a confession to share with all the Great News Radio listeners. I have a confession, Marianne. And I don't know if I'm to blame for the Illini football team losing.
I hope you're not going to confess that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the story because I'm feeling pretty bad about it because I did want the Illini to win. But some months back, I heard Brett Behrens share at a Pinnacle Forum group, and I was so impressed with his delivery and the content and his message and how he shared with all the guys that I thought, I want to have him a part of the Ministry Leaders Network. And so as we talk through different dates. He has a very busy schedule and travels a lot because of covering sports and sport news. We finally decided, well, December 1st, he could probably carve out time and be available. Well, then it so happened to be that if Illinois won and went to the Big Ten Championship, he'd be in Indianapolis covering that. And so I kind of knew that a few months out, and I was thinking, do I have a backup plan? And I was trying to find somebody just in case the Illini kept winning. Well, then they lost to Michigan State, and I thought, oh, that's terrible, but they're still in it. Then they lost to Purdue, and then I thought, oh, that's not good, and they'd have to beat Michigan. Well, anyways, they did lose, which meant that Brett was going to be available last week, and so he delivered a wonderful
message.
I
have an idea. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there.
Sure.
Next year, let's have Brett back, and the Illini win, and Brett comes back.
That's right. Yeah, it should be an interesting season next season, and Brett, you're probably enjoying the Fighting Illini. Even though they have all those freshmen, they're doing pretty good. They're getting some of that swagger, and it should be an interesting season.
Yeah, it really has been. And when you first invited me a couple months ago, I really did not expect Illinois to be 8-4 and have a chance to play in the Big Ten Championship game. And so when it all kind of came together here and really towards the end of October, when they control their own destiny to get to Indy. It's like, hey, Mark, I don't know if that's going to work. I mean, you know, there's a possibility here, which I laid out to you, that it wasn't going to happen for the ministry leaders luncheon. And here we are. So sometimes it works out like it's supposed to.
Well, I appreciated you carving out time last Thursday and then being available today for that Tuesday edition, the Testimony Tuesday edition. And you shared some of that testimony with the ministry leaders and the pastors. And so I just want you to walk us through what happened years ago. You weren't following Jesus. You were about a 14 or 15 year old, and how God used some circumstances, and then take us through the tragedy, and then how God is fulfilling your dreams even today.
Yeah, really happy and thankful, like I said, to share. I love sharing my story, and it really doesn't have much to do with me. I'm just the beneficiary of the story and how God has worked through me, but didn't necessarily grow up in a Christian house. We're good people. You know, my parents are still great people and taught us to do all the right things, but that didn't really involve Christ. And so my parents were believers, not actively following Christ at that time. And so was dating a girl in high school, and she invited me to church. And fortunately, I became a follower of Christ, and it led to my sister becoming a follower of Christ, and my parents both kind of rekindling that relationship and becoming active followers of Jesus again. And at 18, I was working a summer job building cell phone towers, and much to my mom's
chagrin, or
however you want to say it. There's a lot of words you can say in that, right? Like, she was like, I don't know if this is a good idea. And I was like, it's going to be fine, because at 18, you're invincible, right?
Right.
18-year-old boys. And
right?
That's how it always
especially
works,
especially boys.
It?
Invincible.
Yeah, exactly. And so mom said, I don't know, but okay, you know, you got to do you. And ultimately, on June 13, 2006 was the day that I will never forget, and my family never forget, and all my friends. And I was working at a cell phone tower over in Rochester, Illinois. It's the one right in the center of town. If you've been to Rochester, you know this tower that I'm talking about. It's a four-legged tower that's red and white, directly in the middle of town. And I didn't climb a lot, but I always liked to get an opportunity to climb. I'm an adrenaline junkie, so to speak. I love skydiving, going fast, doing all sorts of stuff that's going to get your heart racing.
Being on the television. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Live TV, right? But honestly,
some of us can't do that. Go ahead.
Honestly, that's part of it, though, that I enjoy about my job now as sports director. There's an excitement every single day of being on live TV. You're either going to do it well or you're not.
Yeah.
There's some gray area, but like, you know, I get a big thrill out of nailing some coverage, you know, like doing something great that no one else is doing, providing something to someone,
that's
a story, whether that's highlights, whatever that is, high school football, certainly Illinois coverage, everything in between there.
Wow.
And being that deliverer of the news. It is. It's exciting. It's why I like my job. There's a element to it that's a skill. And you also have to just kind of have that inside of you to go up there and nail it, you know, to hit the coverage, whether you're live in the field and there's no teleprompter, or whether you're in the studio and you're reading the teleprompter.
Oh, I can feel your enthusiasm.
Yeah, but
continue on.
It's kind of all the same, though, and it builds up to why working this summer job at 18 years old sounded like fun, because it was something new, construction. I didn't know anything about building cell phone towers, but I was willing to learn and just be a good worker in that sense. And it sure beat flipping hamburgers at Dairy Queen or whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because there's
a lot
not.
Of us did that.
Yeah, sure. Not, you know, I delivered pizzas and all those types of things, and they're all fine. But for me, I'm always looking for that next kind of like thrill to do something different and new and explore. And side note, it's kind of like why I like traveling, right? Like you find something new, right? There's so much. It's a big world out there. You learn always something. And so 18 years old, I'm on the ground working on the ground crew that day in Rochester. And we were raising antennas to the top of the tower. It was later in the day. You've all seen a cell phone tower. There's different types. This was
look over your left shoulder.
Yeah.
See that tower over there and the antennas up there?
So
our listeners are very familiar. We talk about towers and antennas.
Sure. There's a three-legged tower over there, it looks like. And then also just a single pole tower, a guide tower, which is what that is, which a lot of broadcast towers are. This was a four-legged cell phone tower. And the tower itself stood about 380 feet tall. We were raising the mount to about 200 feet in the air. And I was on the ground working a winch pulley system. And we were operating a piece of machinery called a cat head. And it just goes on to the back of a truck. It just goes on the toe part of the truck where you would, you know, attach a boat or an RV or whatever else. And it's as simple as you press a button with your foot and it turns this cat head and it collects the rope and it raises the load up on the other side of the tower. And this part that we were raising was the antennas. It's a big mount that goes on top of the tower. And we had gotten it up. We had started. So you press the button, collects the rope. The other side goes up, a winch pulley system. It's really not that complicated. We had gotten it up about halfway. And the people on the tower had realized, there was two workers on the tower that day, realized that the mounting brackets that went on the antenna part that we were raising were not installed properly. We had to lower that back to the ground to then put those on so we could attach the antennas to the tower.
Oh, dear, what happened?
And I'd never done this before. So while lowering the antennas on the winch pulley system using the cat head, the rope started to get loose. And this is thousands of pounds on the other side of this. And I'm operating this piece of machinery. Instinctively, as the antennas are falling towards the ground, I grab the rope to try and slow it down, try and do something. It's just instinctively. Sitting here today doesn't make a lot of sense.
Oh,
well, why,
no, it does.
Why would you grab the rope? I relate it to someone that is a distance from you and you see them trip.
Yeah.
And you reach out for them to try and like, oh no, you know, yeah. You can't stop them from a distance away, but you can kind of like instinctively reach out to them. Instinctively, I just grabbed the rope. It got caught around my arm. I couldn't let go. I got catapulted into the air about 80 feet, which is six stories into the air. I went into the middle of the tower structure. That's where the pulley was that it was on this rope. Once the antennas or the load hit the ground, the tension on the rope released.
Oh my.
And it
word.
Swung me into the tower and back out of the tower, the cross beams of the tower, did not hit the tower, and I landed almost where I started, about 10 feet from a chain link barbed wire fence, didn't hit the truck that contained the cat head and the equipment that we were working on. Landed in the grass on my feet and fell back on my butt.
Oh my.
I broke both my legs, broke both my ankles, shattered my L4 lumbar on my back, which is one of your lower vertebrae. It literally exploded in my back.
Oh my.
And I tore my aorta in my heart. And
oh my word.
Instinctively, because instincts play such a big part in our lives, I tried to stand up. And I instantly fell back down and collapsed. And Kevin Mason, who was on the ground with me as the supervisor that day, forcibly had to keep me on the ground. I had so much adrenaline going through my body is what he told me, that I was telling him I was okay. And he's like, dude, you're not okay. Like, you just flew 80 feet into the air. He immediately called the authorities. The ambulance was on site within minutes. You can't make all of these things up. This is God's hand. We were 10 minutes from Springfield in a level one trauma center. We were across the street from the fire station.
Oh, my goodness.
They were on scene within just a couple of minutes. They immediately transported me to Springfield Memorial Hospital, where doctors that night were able to operate through my groin. They didn't have to do open heart surgery fix my aorta. They'd never really done a procedure like this, is what they told me, on someone my age.
Yeah.
But they were able to place a stent into my heart. That was the biggest injury, of course.
Yeah.
And how they explained it to me was there was such a blood flow, like the adrenaline was so much because of the accident, that it literally burst of blood tore the aorta in my heart.
Oh my.
And so they were able to replace that, thankfully, that night. I spent the next 13 days in a coma, 54 days in the hospital recovering from my injuries. Had multiple surgeries. The back surgery was like 13 hours. They had to open me up both sides, clean out all of the bones. And they had to eventually amputate my left leg because the injury to my left leg was so severe. Mm. When I hit the ground, the bones in my leg essentially like were inverted. Mm. Like the force of hitting the ground from 80 feet and landing on my feet caused the bones in my left leg and both legs, but the left leg was in particularly more damaged than the right. My bone
slid over just, the other one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doctors tried to pull it back and were unable to. there was several inches where they just couldn't pull anymore. That's how severe it was.
Oh my, what an accident.
And so they had said, in a long story short, that I would be able to walk better with a prosthetic than be so debilitated by that severe of an injury to my left leg, which I believe to be true. I really don't limp much most days with a prosthetic. And so I had to learn how to walk again at 18 years old. You know, when all my friends were going out and having a good time and being in college and figuring out.
Changed your life.
Absolutely. And it just happened that quick. Just a split second decision, which is so often the case in our lives. We all make choices and decisions every single day, and we don't know what that might lead to or what that might be. And so just like that, my life was changed, and it forever charted my path of where I am today. But it also may have slowed me down, which is my joke. Okay. Literally, it slowed me down. Like, I don't do things, I don't run like I used to, but it hasn't stopped me from doing what I wanted to do. And ultimately, that is my story, and how God has used that to his glory has been pretty remarkable.
And one of the things you shared with the pastors and ministry leaders was having that perspective. Now, fortunately, you came to know the Lord a few years before this, and you were walking with him. So your perspective was different from somebody maybe tuning in right now, and they are thinking, wow, I just couldn't handle life, or I just couldn't go on. You had that inner strength because you knew God loved you, and you've tried to turn it into a positive thing. I mean, you were sharing with the guys, now, would I want to go through it all again? Or if I didn't have to go through it, would I say, thank you, God, and let's just go from here? And you said you've seen good out of it, and you've seen, there's a lot of pain and suffering, but you've seized that opportunity to share oftentimes with believers or unbelievers alike, where this is what God's taken me through.
Yeah, absolutely. And perspective is a powerful tool when we allow it to be. And I'm a big believer of that, of, hey, half of our problems are what we make of them, right? Mm-hmm. And how we view them. And I don't even know if I'm, my wife tells me I'm an eternal optimist. I don't know if I am. I view myself as more of a realist. Like, if something is not going well, I'll just say it's not going well. I mean, and in my recovery and accident,
that's healthy.
I'm also a big proponent of that. Like, I just told people, like, hey, I'm not well, but I know that it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's also helpful.
I think there's something to that that's really powerful, and it ultimately comes from Christ. That's why I don't believe I'm an eternal optimist, Mark, because, like, I will say, like, hey, this is not well.
That's like, a realist, but people sometimes use that word, a realist, to mean pessimist. You got to see the negatives, really, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just... And both sides.
And I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but I do know that ultimately it's going to be okay. And so from early on in my accident, like, that has always been there. And I'm thankful for that. Like, I understand and know that not everyone can easily have that perspective. But, you know, there was a really, really tough stretch. It was a tough season.
One can only imagine.
And that's okay, too, because I'm better for it. And like you had mentioned, Mark, that would I do it all over again? Like, I hesitate to say that. If I could have the perspective I have now, then absolutely.
I think that's a strange question. Would you go through this tragedy again? That doesn't make sense to me. It never has. It's like, well, no. I mean, I don't want to be an abstract pain. Did it get used and turned for profound, ongoing something in your life?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Whether you'd ever gotten hurt or not, that would have been fantastic. Just that one thing.
Yeah. And the thing I do pray for now, though, is continual, is like, God, give me the perspective to be weak. You know, because, like, I literally could not walk. If I don't have my prosthetic, I can't walk. Like, I can't do things. I am so easily humbled if I don't have a prosthetic, maybe more than other people, who is like, okay, well, if you just take for granted that you have two legs, and that's fine. Like, that's the majority of people. I'm not asking other people to have that empathy sympathy with me. But I am thankful that, like, I have to live in the balance of, like, I'm that razor thin of being humbled to my knees to where I can't walk.
That's,
you know,
so
like,
amazing.
I do ask God often to, like, make me weak to the point of, like, I need him. because we live in a society, right, where we're just, we have everything we need. Like, we live in a comfort society, and it whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, it is what it is. And I'm also the beneficiary of all those comforts.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think I have a unique perspective of, like, I'm that close to being completely humbled to my knees to where I can't do what I want to do in life.
So what was the phrase you used, perspective to be weak? What was the phrase? You said another word.
It's just like, it's for me, it's just a continual perspective of asking God to challenge me and to be weak in that sense.
Because you come across a very healthy, strong-minded and strong person.
Yeah, and I don't
and that's
necessarily
real too.
Disagree with that, right?
Yeah.
Like in my job, in my life, and whatever, of, you know, raising three kids, of having my beautiful wife, of my family. You know, I'm a leader in my job. I think you can be a leader, which I feel like I am, and God's gifted me with those leadership things, while also still being very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I'm vulnerable to specific things, not everything. Like, yes, I am a leader, and I've embraced that in my my job and in my life, and I also know that I have to be a follower of Christ, and I have to rely on that to be my foundation. And if it's not, then everything else is out of balance.
It brings to mind John the Baptist, that verse where he says, he must become greater, I must become less, when the disciples are saying, hey, that Jesus guy, he's baptizing more than you. And John surrenders that and says, he must become greater. And in a sense, you're recognizing Jesus is the one that needs to be the greater one, getting the glory through the circumstance. And it's not about me. And even as you shared your stories, you said, it's really not so much about my story or it's about me. This is just a circumstance. Everyone, to varying degrees, have their own story and they need to share it.
Yeah. And here's the other thing too, and I'm very passionate about all of this, is like, I work in the media, right? Like I am media, and I work in a environment where it's all about people.
Yeah.
Like it's constantly about egos and individuals.
Oh, yeah.
And look at me and how many Twitter followers or Facebook followers we have, or fill in the blank of whatever our society is. And I'm not here to apologize for that or whatever else, but I am here to recognize that it's real, and that I can be a light towards the other way in that.
I love that way you said that. You're not here to apologize.
Well,
apologize
it is.
For
like,
how the culture is.
I can't.
You're
I
just
can't
here to
make
be a light.
Up, yeah, I am media, right? I hate that term that, oh, you're just the media. Well, yeah, I am, but like, I'm also not, you know, because the term media gets such a negative connotation, and rightfully so in a lot of cases, right? Like there's a lot of bad media out there, but there's also people like myself where I feel like if I can be a light towards the other way in that, then like, hey, that dude ultimately loves Christ. He's chasing after the truth of media and whatever it is in my job. And like, he's just a regular person that has a unique story that's been crafted by God. And if I can continue to share my story and not make it about me, but make it about my second chance, then for me, I'm living in that alternate light that I feel like God has pushed me down, that, you know, and allowed me to walk down that path more truthfully and what that should be, that I can witness to some people in there. You know what I mean?
I have a feeling that you aren't a person who would say anyone was just a fill in the blank. Like you just said, people do that with media, just media. You know?
Yeah, like you just, oh, you're just
nobody's,
a media member.
Nobody's a just to anything.
Yeah.
Whether they're a janitor or the president,
right.
they're that. And that is the venue they've been given.
Yeah, and so for me, and I had this dream in seventh grade that I wanted to work in sports media. I didn't know that it would result in all this.
I was wondering. We do have to have Brad back, okay?
I'm thinking, because we wanted to talk about not my why.
I've got like 25 questions.
Seeking opportunity and working through adversity. In fact, his topic with the Ministry Leaders Network was overcoming adversity. So, yeah, Brett, we're going to have you back. And I know we're out of time. Well, we're not out of time. There's always time through
the
eternity
news starts
for all of us.
In moments.
Yeah, that's right. The newscast is coming up, but thank you for dedicating this time, and I'm hoping and praying and trusting that our radio listeners will, when they see the sports news or see Brett on the TV or have heard this program, will be praying up he and his family and
Absolutely. Just
how he can be the light in this media saturated world. So thank you, Brett,
so
for being available.
So Brett can come back and the Illini can win. Both
yeah,
can happen.
Right. It can both happen at the same time. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Brett Behrens with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.